This little mummy had meatloaf, sang my favorite lullaby, and walked me to the slave.
This is where mommy goes when she needs privacy. But I know she enjoys her privacy more when I'm there too.
This is where she sits when picking me up from school, dropping me off at practice, and singing like no one's listening, even if my friends are.
This is where the loudest and proudest member of my fan club sits. Win or lose, I'm always the MVP in her eyes.
This is where she brainstorms and plans, until she gets an unexpected call from the school nurse.
This is where she helped me start my personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
This is where, after everyone else is asleep, she sorts and folds laundry and checks one more task off of her to-do list.
This is where she looks over bills, does taxes, and organizes the junk drawer. You know, the fun stuff.
This is where she gives me advice on life and kids so I can be a great mom like she is.
This is where she laughed the loudest. I'll never forget that laugh.
For all the seats you sit in, moms, this is your seat of honor. Come take a seat.
That's very cool. So happy Mother's Day. I actually mean that. Happy Mother's Day wherever you are on the Mother's Day spectrum. I hope it's a happy day for you. And happy Mother's Day is a day where we set aside to honor mothers. And sometimes we talk about mothers, but what I want to do, in addition to talk about mothers, is I want to back up in that sentence and I want to talk about the first part. I want to talk about honor. What does honor even mean? Because I get sometimes really confused about honor and who should get honor and who should not get honor and why we honor and when we honor. Honor is very confusing to me. I was at a funeral about 6 weeks ago, and John Simon, our unbelievably talented percussionist and drummer, his father passed away. And the funeral was going to be up in Denton, and it was on a Friday morning, and I wasn't part of it, but I thought, I'll go up there. I need to go up there. So I just drove up kind of unannounced and walked in the back of this church in Denton. And as soon as I walked in, I saw John, and we made eye contact. He didn't know I was coming. He said, he was grateful. And he said, I want you to meet my pastor. And so I went and met his pastor, and he said, this is my pastor, Paul from Highland Park Methodist. He said, you're a pastor. And I said, yes, I am. And everybody got real quiet. And I thought, what is going on here? And he said, well, you'll need to be part of the service. And I thought, no. I've just come to support my good buddy, John the drummer. And they said, no, you must be part of the service. And I tried my dead level best to talk my way out of it, but they insisted. And so I'm thinking, okay, what does that look like? He said, well, there's going to be a big processional, and you'll be seated up on the stage with the rest of us. And sure enough, they brought in this giant chair. It looked like a throne. And they stuck it right in the middle of their whole staff. And I thought, uh-oh, that's going to be my seat. And it was odd. And I thought, I don't know what to do. So we're about to process in. We're in the back, about to process in. And somebody goes, where is Pastor Robinson? And the senior minister goes, Pastor Robinson has been delayed in traffic. And then they said, well, what was Pastor Robinson supposed to do in the service? And then the senior minister said, well, he was going to do the New Testament lesson. At which point he said, that's okay. Reverend Rasmussen is here. And he would be happy to do the New Testament lesson. And I'm thinking, what New Testament lesson? And so I asked, I said, what New Testament lesson? And they said, just whatever's on your heart, whatever you want. And so now that would have been good, but I didn't have a Bible. And so this is a true story. Now I'm walking in the back and I lean over into the back of the pew backs and I'm thinking, please God, let there be a Bible, let there be a Bible, let there be, and there was. So I grabbed one as we're walking down, right? And Carla, our singer, leads our music here, and she's also there. And I said, Carla, what is going on? And she said, you just need to understand, at this church, they really like to honor pastors. It's a big deal. And I said, I don't need any honor, you know? And she said, no, you don't understand. They're not actually honoring you personally. They're honoring your position. And I thought, I don't even get parking at Highland Park, Methodist Church. And I'm going to make this church is pretty cool all of a sudden. It was awesome. So she said, no, they really honor, in our tradition, we honor the pastor. And I thought, this is so odd. They don't even know me. They don't know where I'm from. They barely know my name. They don't know where I was ordained, if I was ordained. They don't know anything about me. And I know very little about them, yet they want to honor my position. Honor sometimes is pretty confusing. But when you open the pages of Scripture, it is amazing how often God calls us to honor certain things, certain enterprises, certain practices, certain customs, certain people, parents, elders. Romans 12, verse 10, real general, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. So we know that it's somehow tethered to acknowledging someone above our own deal. And if you look at the Greek word there for honor, it's timē. It's spelled like time, but it's pronounced timē. And what it means is to value or to highly esteem. Highly esteem, to treat as precious, to assign a significant weight or a value. Now, it sounds good by definition, but my problem with honor is I tend to honor only the people who I think deserve honor. Who do you honor? Don't we do that in a society? I mean, we have messed this word all up. We're all confused by it. We give out an honor, but that's usually performance-based, isn't it? Somebody wrote a great song. Somebody acted really well in a movie. We give them an honor for that which they have done. But to honor someone, that's altogether different. And I go around thinking I'll honor them if they've done something to merit the honor that I'm about to give them. And if they haven't done anything to merit it, then I might not honor them. Sometimes, if I'm real honest, I give out honor because I want something in return. I think back to when you were dating, how honorable you were, guys. Remember that? You opened every door. You would do anything in your power, right, not to have conflict. You wouldn't talk bad about anybody. You were on because you were wanting relationship in return. See, sometimes we demonstrate honor when selfishly we want something. But biblically, we need to know this. Honor has a much greater context. When you talk about biblical honor, it's far less about the individual and it's far more about an esteemed position. That's the context for how we treat honor. Not because someone has done something to deserve it, but because that someone holds an esteemed rank, not only in the community, but in the kingdom of God. A high rank. And what better way to kind of unpack this biblical concept of honor than to do so on Mother's Day? Because Mother's Day is not just about being nice to your mama. It's about honoring the esteemed rank of motherhood in the kingdom of God. That puts a little different light on it, doesn't it? It may or may not be about your mama, my mama, what they did, how they have performed, the decisions that they've made. We're called to honor the esteemed rank that they hold. This is one of the biggies, by the way. Ten Commandments, Exodus, honor your father and mother. One of the big 10. Give honor because they hold an esteemed rank. And it's not just about the way your mom may or may not have acted. It's about the standing that motherhood has. Because sure, there are some times in your life where aren't you convinced that you're a lot smarter than your mom? She just doesn't get it, right? A lot of times where they've confounded you, they may have made decisions that didn't impact your life in a very meaningful or substantive way. It could have been even worse than that. Sometimes they just embarrass you. I remember in the eighth grade, I was at a dance, classic eighth grade dance. You know, the DJ's up there spinning a bunch of Michael Jackson tunes, and we're getting after it on the dance floor, all fired up in our element, and then all of a sudden the song stops and the DJ comes on. And he says, is there a Paul Rasmussen in the room? Everybody just got quiet. Your mother is here to pick you up, right? My mother had shown up at the gymnasium and gone out there and taken a little note with a $5 bill and sent it up to the DJ and said, I need to pick up my son. I am still to this day in therapy about five times a week, right? Because of that. Sometimes moms just do stuff that you might think don't merit honor. But regardless of all that, in God's eyes, she holds a very esteemed rank in the community. God sacrificed for your mom, whether you understand that or not. Your mama is not just a woman. It's the individual that the God of the universe anointed for you to come into the world through. That's the rank that your mom holds. God chose and ordained your mom to bring you into the world. This is not about your claim on your mom's life. It's about God's claim. It's about God seeing them in a different way than we do, this unique grace-based perspective on the people of the world. See, God has this unique ability to see not only our shortcomings and our failures and our sins and our depravity, but also to see our dignity in the same view. That's how God is. He sees our bad stuff, but he sees our great stuff. And thank God we don't serve a God who just sees our bad stuff. And sometimes, like, when you're parenting and your kids, and they don't do what you think they ought to do, and so how much time do we spend just pointing out all their flaws? And I recognize the older I get that I should spend a lot more time not pointing out their flaws, but telling them what they can be. Because that's the way it is with God. See, God doesn't just see us as who we are. God sees us as what we can be. And there's a doctrine that you learn about in seminary called glorification. And what that means, to get not too complicated, is that one day we're all going to stare into the eyes of God, and God is going to make us clean and get rid of all of our sins and get rid of all of our impurities. But here's the beauty about God. He already treats us as if that's already happened. It hasn't happened yet. Christ died while we were yet sinners. We're still messing up. But God says, no, these are my children. They hold an esteemed rank in my creation. And God doesn't just see our mess ups. He sees what we can be. And if God can do that, shouldn't we at least try? And isn't that what honor is all about, is seeing people not the way we see them, the way they should be, the way they ought to be, the way we had hoped they would be, but to see them the way that God sees them. And just to ask the question on Mother's Day, does God see my mother different than I do? I'm not defending her behavior. I'm not telling you it shouldn't have been better, it shouldn't be different. I'm not telling you that you need to hang out with. I'm just telling you that sometimes we need to change our perspective and say, wait a minute, how does God see motherhood? And what we learn is, and this is kind of cool, it might even sound a little bit selfish, that sometimes when we honor people, we do get something back. Sometimes by honoring someone else, there's something in it for the recipient. Did you know there's a limit to how much you can receive from people that you're not willing to honor? You ever think about that? Ephesians 6, verse 2, honor your mother and father. This is Paul quoting what we just read from Exodus, the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. But then Paul unpacks it a little bit. Which is the first commandment with a promise? Isn't that cool? There's a promise attached to this commandment, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life in the earth. This is staggering to me. See, by honoring mother and father, recognizing their esteemed rank in the order of things, there's something in play for me. And when you violate that truth, it's amazing how limited your options are for receiving something. And here's what I mean by that. There's a story in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus has been away from his hometown for about a year, and they ran him out. They wanted to kill him, and they ran him out. So he goes on like a year-wide tour, ministry tour, and he's going all over Israel, and he's doing miracle after miracle, and he is healing people, and he is curing the blind, and he is curing lepers, and he brought some guy back from the dead, and he fed a bunch of people with nothing. He's done all this stuff, and then a year later, he goes back to his hometown, and the people that should honor him the most end up honoring him the least. And here's how it plays out in Mark 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? Like they're totally surprised. What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And then they took offense at him. Well, that's odd. And so Jesus said, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Without honor, that's the opposite of honor. And the Greek word there is atimos, and it means to dishonor or to treat common or to treat as ordinary. So Jesus, deserving all of this honor, comes back into town and they dishonor him. Now notice what the spirit of dishonor does to Jesus. This to me is absolutely unbelievable. Jesus could not do any miracles there. Wow. It doesn't say he wouldn't do any miracles there because he was mad. It says he couldn't. There's a limitation now on the blessing that they can receive because they chose to dishonor. That is so powerful. I don't even understand this because I don't want to ever see Jesus as being limited or restricted. But what I know is that Mark recounts is that Jesus goes back, he gets dishonored, and he could not in that town do miracles. And Jesus points out that a prophet is usually without honor in their own town. And so I think about all the mothers that go without honor in their own family because we treat them as ordinary. We treat them as common. I can't honor them because they're not honorable. Look, respect may be earned, but honor is given. It's up to you. Respect is earned, but honor is something we freely give. And the scripture says it's not just tied to the person, it's tied to the esteemed ranking of their position. And Mother's Day is a great day to rethink this principle, to reclaim it, not just for moms, but for so many categories. You say, okay, I want to honor people, but what does that, I don't know what that looks like. What does that look like, right? Do I give them a plaque? What do I do, right? It's real simple. Don't overthink this. Well, you honor someone when you prioritize them. That's what Mother's Day is. We prioritize our moms. We prioritize. When you prioritize something, you give it honor. And frankly, we're in a culture now that has reduced honor. We've taken it out. In fact, now you're more popular if you dishonor something. You have to prioritize it. I went on Friday night. I went out to Dallas Baptist University to see a baseball game. If you've not done that, I'm telling you, put it on your list, even if you're not a sports fan. I had never been to DBU, never been, but a friend of mine who goes to church here, and his son is a pitcher for them, and I said, I want to go see him play. So I went out there. I didn't even know I was in Dallas. There's rolling hills, green lush, an unbelievable baseball facility, a great environment. And I'm watching the game. The game starts at 6:30, and then about 30-some-odd minutes into the game, a guy hits a grounder, and they throw him out at first, but there's only one out, so the inning is still going, the game's still live, but everybody just stopped. And in one moment, in unison, all the players on the field turned around, faced the outfield, took their hat off, put it over their heart. We're in the middle of the third inning. I'm seeing all these people in unison turning around, sitting face. I don't know what's going on. I think it's the rapture, right? This is what clearly happens at the Baptist University. You don't know what's going on here, man. And then I got it. Something came up on the video screen. And it said, please stand and honor. And it turns out just across the outfield fence is the Dallas National Cemetery where 62,000 men and women who served in our armed forces and later died are now buried. And it said, would you please stand for the playing of taps? And every night at 7 p.m., whether you're playing baseball or not, they play taps at Dallas National Cemetery. And this baseball program has said, even though we're in the middle of our game, at 7 o'clock, whatever we're doing, we're gonna stop. And we're gonna prioritize honoring something. I was overwhelmed. I had never seen this before. And I thought, that is prioritization. That's what we're called to do, right? That's when you go to the grocery store and there's that little sign that says, don't park here. We're prioritizing. This is for expectant mothers, and you want to pull in there, and then you get mad because then you read the sign after you're halfway in? Right? No. We've prioritized. This is old-fashioned stuff, but I'm telling you, it is so important. Proverbs 3:9, honor God with everything you own. That's prioritization. Give him the first and the best. And we usually preach about this as if it's some kind of exclusive money principle. It's not a money principle. It's an everything principle. It's I got to prioritize God. And guess what? Those of you right now watching online as well, you've done that with your time. You've said in this moment from 11 to noon on Sunday, I'm going to prioritize my time and I'm going to stop whatever it is I'm doing and I'm going to glorify God. And when you do that, guess what? You honor God. It's the same with people. Mother's Day is about prioritizing our moms. Second thing I think we do is we praise them. You want to honor somebody, it doesn't have to be your mom, it could be anybody, you praise them. See, honor has a language. We have to speak honor. And not just when they're around, you know, come on, they're around, you're talking to them, oh, it's so good to see you, and then they leave and you're like, woo, did you see that dress? Woo, you're like, yes. We do that, right? No, honor's consistent. Praise is consistent. We talk about them favorably privately and publicly. James 3:9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. It's the same tongue. We go to church, we praise God, then we curse people. By the way, the people who have been made in God's likeness. So just know this, and I'm guilty of it too. When somebody cuts you off and you say, you jerk, you need to know that's God's jerk. Right? That's what James is saying. In the image of God, it's not about their behavior. It's about seeing them the way God sees them. Ephesians 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We praise. Mother's Day is about language, right? We go get a car. You can go to CVS right now, and you'll see a dozen men in their panic trying to pick through the leftovers, right? Because they want to be thoughtful about what? The words they choose to give honor to their mother. And the point of this scripture is that you don't have to have it be a holiday to do that. We should be perennially thoughtful about the language that we use. And when you leave here today, this is kind of cool. We've done this for a couple years now, and it's awesome. You're going to see these cards out there. They say, Dear Mom. Some of you forgot to get a card. We've covered your bases. You take this card. This is how it works. You can write a little message to your mom. You write the address on there. You don't need postage. You drop it in the bucket. We'll pay for the postage. We'll mail it to them. Be thoughtful about your words. You prioritize them, you praise them. I think the last thing we do is we protect that which we honor. You ever think about that? You honor something, you tend to protect it, right? You've given it value, it's esteemed, you want to lift it up, you want to separate it, you want to protect it. I find that I protect the things that I honor. Probably have a dozen basketballs at home. 11 of them are ordinary. The ordinary ones we leave laying around. They're on the floor, they're in the garage, some are outside in the dirt, in the rain. We just don't do anything with the ordinary ones. I have one of them, though, that has a signature on it from a very successful college basketball coach that's won a million national championships, and he wrote a personal blessing and a note of encouragement to me, and then he signed his name on it. And so you know what I did with that ball? I put it in a glass case, and I lift it up, and I display it prominently, and it's protected. And I put that case around it. You know, you can read it, but don't mess with this. I'm protecting this. Why? I put extra value on it. I've honored it. See, we tend to protect. This is the way it is with people. You want to know if you're giving honor to someone, you protect them. That doesn't mean you deny their behavior. That doesn't mean you do what's best for them. Doesn't mean you live all Pollyanna and act like what they did doesn't matter. Look, we protect. Family, there's a story in the Old Testament. Noah builds a vineyard. Same guy that did the ark first built a vineyard. And after the vineyard, he takes the wine. He gets all liquored up. He rips off all his clothes. He's running around naked, embarrassing himself and his family name. And he passes out in his cave. And one of his kids is out there ridiculing him. Oh, you believe Dad? What a loser. This is what he did. The other two kids, you know what they do? They go get a blanket and they back into the cave so as not to embarrass their father. And then they give him the blanket and they drape it over him. Why? They're trying to protect him. And they know that Noah's just a good man that did something bad. But they're trying to protect. They're not trying to deny it. They're just saying, this is family. And we're going to stand with you. Because, Dad, we value you. And we wouldn't be here without you. And we might not like what you have done, but there's something about your rank that has nothing to do with you as a person. And in this moment, I'm going to see you not the way I see you. I'm going to see you the way God sees you. And they gave Noah honor. So today's Mother's Day. I hope it'll be about your mom. Maybe it'll be about somebody else. Maybe you'll pick up the phone, you'll call your mom, maybe you'll talk to a boss that you hadn't wanted to ever give honor to. Right? Maybe it'll be a teacher or a law enforcement officer or a soldier. And you'll say, you know what, we're not gonna stand for being a culture that has taken honor and ripped it out of the guts of its ethos and what it's all about. We're gonna put it back in there because we think that every now and then God calls us to honor certain things just because they hold an esteemed rank in the order of things. And so we're gonna do a lot more prioritization and a lot more praising and a lot more protecting of that which God seems to really value. And when we do that, not only do we honor the people, but we end up honoring God. And when we do that, we end up becoming a whole lot more humble and a whole lot more teachable and a whole lot more grateful. And we get rid of our sense of entitlement. And it makes the whole world better. Wouldn't it be cool if all of us could live like this? And the good news is, we can. And Mother's Day is a great place to start. To just remember that every now and then we're called to honor someone or something for the esteem rank that they hold in God's eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you the honor. That's why we come here, Lord, to prioritize you, to praise you. You don't need our protection, but we hope to protect our relationship with you. And Lord, help us as a microcosm of that to start with Mother's Day. A lot of people in the world that represent mothers to us, help us to honor them and to celebrate the esteem rank that they hold in your eyes. In your Son's holy and mighty name we pray. Amen.